And of course, the final angel's joy is to be join us and to lead us in that heavenly choir that will sing, like in Revelation has this great song, glory and honor and praise and wisdom and all of these great acclamations of God. And your choir is going to sing later on a great amen, the song of Revelation, the song of the angels in which we will join before the throne of the heavenly Father. So the angels, the very angels who blocked the path of the return to the Eden paradise, now are the very ones who open and bear us to the doors and gates of the heavenly paradise. Of course, having spent time talking about the angels a bit and not covering all the territory that could be turned and discovered, it is to recognize that the main focus, of course, of this text is on Jesus, on God's Son, Jesus Christ. Angels serve our Heavenly Father. They serve at the behest of Jesus, his Son, the one who born and lived among us, the one who suffered and died, the one who rose again and ascended into heaven. But the hard part of this ministry and the hard part of this chapter is the hard part of Matthew 25 is that separation, like the separation of sheep from goats. It is Jesus in the role of judge. We like to sing about Jesus in the role as a savior, as friend, redeemer, king, teacher, master, and Lord, but we're probably less comfortable with judge. I mean, I don't know what kind of experiences, but when you're before a judge, you're just a little more careful and circumspect. I mean, they have the power to fine you for that speeding you did or that stop sign you ran. If things are a little bit more troubled, they have an opportunity to maybe take away some of your freedom, to fine you a great deal of money or maybe even to put you in jail. They have a lot of power to extract things from you and to mete out punishment. And so we have to kind of keep some of those things in mind as we think about calling Jesus the judge. But the thing is that as we confess and affirm that Jesus is the judge, the other side is almost really more important. The judge is Jesus. I mean, who's on the bench today? Oh, it's Jesus, right? It's the one who has already suffered for our sins. He's the one who's already paid the debt for the reason we're being called before that judge. He's the one who has actually given his life so that our sins might be forgiven. So that rather than being a source of apprehension and fear that we are coming before the judge, it is a cause of joy. It is a cause of optimism and hope. Jesus as the judge is good news for us. It is gospel. Because he is the one who has already taken on the punishment for our sin. And so that the verdict rendered upon us is, you're guilty, but your debt's paid in full. The verdict is, you're guilty, but you've been forgiven. The judgment is, sinners all, but redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of Christ, and to be welcomed, and your sins laid aside, forgiven, and forgotten. You are, belong to Christ, and he has saved you. The judge himself has done that. So this story, this parable that Jesus tells in Matthew here, impresses upon us some things. It impresses upon us that it is important for our faith to yield fruit. And the fruit of faith is not simply busy work around the church and in the church, although there are many good things that we do there and for many good and wonderful reasons. But the fruit of faith is actions that serve one another and actions that serve people in need. It's almost kind of like a drumbeat. We almost can find ourselves memorizing those words, that pattern of words, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, those who are in prison. Four times that those six things are mentioned. They are needs of human people. They are needs of our neighbors and the people around us for which Christians are to have a response. Needs for which Christians are encouraged to respond and to answer that need with their help and their compassion. It is a way of hearing the epistle to James when he says, I, by my works, will show you my faith. It also impresses upon us the importance of our verbal mission, of our verbal witness to one another, to share the reason for our faith, as I think it's St. Peter says, to give witness, to be always be ready to share the hope that is in you, to tell people about the judge who is also Jesus, who is also our Redeemer, who is also responsible for our forgiveness. Our mission is the mission of God's people, all of God's people in the church, to be a witness to what God has done in our lives and what God has done in the world. There's a traditional story about that kind of points to the frailty of humankind in being witnesses. It's a kind of a story about Jesus at his ascension, joining his heavenly Father in heaven, and the angels welcoming there and saying kind of to Jesus, well, now what's next? What's God going to do now? And Jesus says, well, those 11 disciples down there, they're going to carry on. They're going to get the job done. And the angels are saying, what? Those guys? That fisherman and that tax collector and all that? What's your plan B, Jesus? Jesus says, no plan B. They're it. You and I are it. You and I are the ones who bear the responsibility and the privilege of sharing the message about Jesus, of publicly talking about his action, his grace, his love, his power in our lives. The Lord God works and spreads his gospel through human work and witness. He spreads it through what we say and through what we do. The work of brothers and sisters in Christ, of individuals, of groups of people, of whole congregations and churches, their words and their deeds, their witness, their compassion, bespeak and share the faith that motivates them. It is to be a part of our lives. Good news, actions, the service and deeds of love for those who are hungry, thirsty, strangers, naked, sick, imprisoned, refugees, unemployed, homeless, disabled, oppressed, abused, persecuted, bullied, bedridden, cancerous, and harassed. We don't see the angels. We don't see Christ. But when we see and help these people, we are serving as angels. We are serving our Lord Jesus. Jesus is in and with all of those who come to us in need. And thus the King can come with all his angels and say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we can sing the words that I had fun singing. I was part of a Lutheran choir in Portland this summer. And we sang, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, bear your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.